Today is All Saints Sunday, and the readings are from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Today's message is titled, Salvation Belongs to Our God. Hear the word of God from 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Revelation chapter 7, beginning of verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will there be hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when He, that is Jesus, when He saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the message is salvation belongs to our God. Hear the prayer from the Litany of St. Chrysostom. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show us your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. A week ago today, I was waking up in Decorah, Iowa, and looking forward to the day visiting the memories of my childhood from long ago. I began the day watching an English Premier League soccer game. Then, before the snow began to fall, I ventured out to the Decorah Fish Hatchery just a few miles from the hotel, parking the car and then walking up to where the spring gushes forth from the rocks. I was amazed that so much water could just appear from underground. Reminds me of as Moses struck the rock in the desert, the waters flowed. This spring in Decorah provides more than enough water for the fish hatchery, with most of the water actually being diverted downstream to flow into the streams and river. Walking down and looking into the different sections of the fish hatchery, I saw so many fish, and as my shadow fell upon the water, the fish would swarm, expecting to be fed. Walking down the tanks and reading the signs saying there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of fish in these 24 raceways. Then in the man-made rubber-lined pond surrounded by an electrical fence were the fish that had passed their prime in providing eggs, and for such hatching purposes they were waiting until the time to be released into the streams so others would have a chance to catch trophy fish. I mean, as I was watching the water, I saw shadows that had to be nearly 3 feet long, slowly gliding down in the water. This hatchery releases over 130,000 fish, catchable-sized rainbow trout, every year into the streams and rivers in that part of Iowa. Then I crossed the road and I looked to see if I could see the eagle's nest. Near the Decorah Fish Hatchery is a bald eagle's nest, and it's been there for years. And you can follow the happenings of this eagle nest on the Decorah Raptor Cam. We followed that cam for several years as the eagles lay the eggs and then watching for the hatching, paying attention to the eaglets and growing until fledging. And the nest and that eagle have been tracked for at least since 2008. Back in the pilot, the snow begins to fall, and grabbing a lunch, I'm off to Dunning Springs, another springs that just comes out of the cliff there in Decorah. And walking in solitude of the snow at the springs, remembering my childhood through the years there, I drove past then my grandma's place where she lived, there by the old mill in the apartment she lived in. Still there, the last part of her life is where she lived there. The Whippy Dip is just around the corner, but unfortunately it was closed for the season, so no ice cream cone this day, even in the snow. I miss that ice cream cone, but the last time I was in Decorah in 2015, I had the girls stop by and we all got ice cream from the Whippy Dip. I drove past the Vesterheim Museum, up the hill past the Lutheran Church, where I was baptized over 57 years ago, and where my mom's funeral was held a little over 19 years ago. Following that ever so familiar road, I had ridden my bike uncountable number of times as a kid up to Phelps Park. Parking the car, grabbing the camera, I set off to hike the trail along the ridge of the cliffs as the snow gently covered the ground, the trees, a beautiful coating of white. And I thought, "He shall make your sins as white as snow." Heading the trail, I first hiked when I was about 5 years old with my five-year-old feet. Summer after summer, growing up there in Decorah, we would be my mom's hometown. We'd be there at least 2 weeks every summer. I knew the place well. This time it was my father's funeral that brought me to Decorah this October weekend. And the grace of God was working as I pulled in and checked into the hotel. I was told they were waiting for me. My uncles and my aunts, my cousins were in the conference meeting room sharing pizza and a few beers waiting for my arrival. I found two slices of sausage pizza. They looked like they were waiting for me, and as the evening concluded, my brother Alan, along with me, shared what the next day's schedule would be. In the morning, we'd be at Glenwood Lutheran, about 10 miles outside of Decorah. Glenwood Lutheran was where my grandfather, my dad's dad, was pastor, the Reverend Donald Lee. He was pastor there from 1954 to 1963. His heart attack in 1963 was the reason I was born in Decorah and not Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I tell you, Decorah is a lot easier to spell than Albuquerque. The last time I was at Glenwood, if I recall correctly, was in the early 1970s as they celebrated their centennial. Now here I was in October of 2020, by the grace of God. I was there for my father's funeral, there to officiate at my dad's funeral. This was all possible by the sovereignty of God. The open door at Glenwood to have this service there came through family connection. For the current pastor at Glenwood is related to family through marriage, related specifically to the Petersons of Callander, Iowa, which was my grandmother's family, who was the wife of Reverend Donald G. Lee. My grandmother was Ruth Peterson. So there I am in Glenwood Lutheran Church, outside of Decorah, presiding at my father's funeral, preaching to my siblings, my dad's brothers and their wives, my cousins and my dad's cousins, preaching from the pulpit my grandfather preached from, vesting in the sacristy my grandfather vested in, and wearing the red stole that was my grandfather's, that he wore in that same pulpit. The stole that my grandmother, Grandma Ruth Lee, placed on my shoulders at my ordination. There I was listening to the pipe organ sing beautifully, the same pipe organ my dad played for worship services when he was in high school. The emotion of the moment was powerful, and by God's goodness and grace, I made it through the service there, even as the tears were rolling down my cheeks. A few weeks earlier, I had sent emails to my dad's brothers to have them share memories of growing up with my dad. His three brothers graciously shared with me some of their memories. I share with you a portion from their words, for their words speak so well. Quoting, "Always hard to put a lifetime of memories in a few words. His faith was unwavering, and I know he is at peace with your mom in God's loving arms." Quoting another, "He is missed but not forgotten. I know he was always prepared for the next life from our upbringing." My dad's faith, his faith was unwavering. He was always prepared for the next life from our upbringing. From his upbringing, he looked to that next life, the life to come, the life that is in Christ Jesus, that eternal life, life in the company of the saints in the church triumphant. The faith we share in Christ is most evident in the moment of stepping from this life into the life to come, eternal life with Christ. As the Apostle John brings forth in Scripture from 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you that who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." God has given us eternal life, and that eternal life is in His Son, no other place than Christ Jesus. You have Christ Jesus, the Son, you have life, life eternal. Remember when Peter was before the Sanhedrin, as it's written in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter declares boldly, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And then remember when Paul and Silas were in jail singing and praising God, and that violent earthquake came and shook the place. The prison doors flew open, everyone's chains came loose, and the jailer was afraid. The jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And the Scripture records in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 31, their answer. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Eternal life is ours through the salvation won by Christ on the cross. For on that cross, the full payment was made. The penalty was paid in full. The bondage of sin was totally and eternally broken. Death was defeated. The finished work of Christ on the cross is the only way to eternal life. This is why the vision of the great multitudes in white robes, Scripture records in Revelation 7, are crying out with one voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." That's Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. This is echoed later in Revelation chapter 19, in verses 1 and a portion of verse 2. After that, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments." Those who believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, will most certainly be part of that great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments." There will be one shouting in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Salvation, in the fullness sense, means free from the law, redeemed from sin, and brought to the place of blessedness in the presence of God forever. In ascribing this salvation to God, we are showing that God is the source of our salvation. Salvation won through the selfless and humbling obedience of the Son, Jesus, pouring out his lifeblood on the cross for you. God graciously and compassionately looked upon us and had mercy. All praise, all honor for our salvation belong to God, for God is the cause of our salvation. And the greatness of God's love for us is expressed in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and we will be, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him how he is. How does one put into words what eternal life will be like? Can we find words to express the blessedness where he will wipe away every tear from their eyes? There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. My dad was a planner. In fact, he had his whole funeral service planned out. He even wrote pages of notes to assist in the planning and putting together of his service. And in the notes, he wrote and explained why each portion was chosen by himself. His words spoke so clearly of the faith that resided in him, I included them in the funeral bulletin. I share with you portions of that on this All Saints Sunday, my dad's own words. Today's service is one of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to God for the life and memories of Jim Lee, and a celebration of the victory over death made possible through Christ our Lord. His funeral service at Glenwood concluded with the hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." And these are the words my dad wrote, why he chose that. We conclude, we begin with triumphant words. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When all supports are washed away, he then is all my hope and stay. When he comes with trumpet sound, Jim always knew that he would be found in him, clothed in his righteousness, saved by grace through faith in the risen Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. As the funeral service at Glenwood concluded, we drove to the Lutheran Cemetery in Decorah to the place my dad by my mom, where my mom was laid to rest 19 years earlier. There on the hillside, the military honor guard was standing in honor for my dad's service in the Air Force. After briefly conferring with the honor guard, I gave my dad's cremains to the one honor guard and the folded American flag to the other to hold for the graveside services. At the graveside, I included the verse that was my mom's verse, and a portion is inscribed on the granite bench in the memorial prayer walk at Our Savior's in Dayton. And it's from Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Then after saying those words, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, praying the Lord's Prayer at the graveside, and the honor guard gave to my older brother my dad's cremains. My older brother then gave them to me, kneeling down, reaching down deep into the hole. I placed my father in his resting place. The military honors began with the unfolding of the American flag, so they can be refolded with great solemnity. And then all of a sudden we heard a rustling in the bushes around us. And coming into view, we saw three deer come walking into the cemetery. And the words of Scripture came to my mind, "As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul longs for you, O God." The deer continued walking down the side of the cemetery along the hedgerow towards where my mom's parents are buried. I continued to take in the beauty of the moment as the honor guard began playing taps, and I watched the deer as they continued on their way, not fazed by the playing of taps. I soaked in the moment as the flag was presented to my older brother. Monday morning, before leaving Decorah, I stopped by the cemetery to visit the gravesides of my uncles, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and the generations that are there before. A beautiful covering of snow was everywhere, about an inch of snow. I came up to my mom's and dad's grave. The hole was filled, and with the covering of snow, no one could tell that the Saturday afternoon before, I with my own hands had placed my dad there. We are mortal. We must put on immortality. We are perishable. We must put on the imperishable. We have a sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the funeral liturgy, part of the prayers is this: help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. Also, from the liturgy of the funeral is a prayer. We pray, give us your aid, so we may see in death the gate to eternal life, that we may continue our course on earth in confidence until, by your call, we are reunited with those who have gone before us. On this All Saints Sunday, I bring you to these words this morning. to remind us that death is the moment our faith is the strongest and most sure. For in death we see the gate to eternal life. This is the time to give thanks to God who gives the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can know the comfort of the words of our Lord Jesus recorded in Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Yes, we are comforted. Remember and rejoice. Remember and rejoice, for salvation is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift of grace from God. Join in the celebration and shout aloud. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.